But right now, we step down for this.
Brought to you by
Window Nation and All Pro Foundation Repair.
And here he is, Dave.
Thank you. Thank you, Dallas Boat Show.
Gen X Davey.
And also joining us for E-News, as we do on Thursdays, we begin the rant revival during E-News, very Inception-like, with the great Gordon.
Hey, what's happening, hardliners?
Hello, welcome. Gordon.
Sorry about your odd echoing gas.
I don't know what that was there.
Whoops.
Staying dry.
That's that thing that it was a sound effect that people would dub into videos, and George fell for every single one of those videos.
Dinging.
All right. Let's begin with the trial of Rust Armorer Hannah Gutierrez Reed. This came down yesterday after E! News. So we'll have to disseminate this information a day late today, as Hannah Gutierrez Reed, she has been convicted as of yesterday, a charge of involuntary manslaughter in the death of the cinematographer on the film of Rust. Jurors needed only 3 hours of deliberations. She did not get found guilty of tampering with evidence. There was that charge because evidently she gave a bag of drugs to somebody to ferry away from the set because she was heavy into drugs.
Tell me about it.
But she faces up to 18 months in prison. Sentencing will be sometime in April. And they talked to a juror outside of the courtroom yesterday. And Alberto Sanchez said, "Someone died. You got to take responsibility, especially when you're handling weapons and you're in charge of those. That's your job." So,
was this a city juror, or was this more of a out in the country?
Rural juror.
I think it was a rural juror.
Yeah, I mean, Santa Fe, I mean, it's not a huge metropolis, farmers. So chances are he was a rural juror.
And one of the names was Rory.
Rory, a rural juror?
Mm-hmm.
And so Alec
Rory
Baldwin's
McElroy,
trial.
The rural juror.
Right.
Alec Baldwin's trial will be in July. And I don't think this really necessarily affects his trial one way or the other. I understand that the armorer being held culpable because she's the one who put the bullet in the chamber.
Yeah.
But then Alec Baldwin, even though he claims he didn't pull the trigger, obviously he did.
And Gordon, I heard you talking about this earlier today, and I don't understand how an actor can be held responsible for something when he's handed a weapon from a prop master or whoever, an armorer or whatever you want to call that person, and he's just doing what he's told. Aim there and shoot. That's your job as an actor. And how is he held responsible for that? It makes no sense.
Okay, so this is the argument, is that he was the executive producer, and he clearly had the most power on that set. And they're going to try to show a pattern of him rushing through safety protocols, not minding the director when the director yells cut. There's footage of him still shooting the gun after the director's already yelled cut.
Right, and then he's like, let's hurry up, take it again, let's go again.
But again, it's... the armorer puts the dummy bullet in there or whatever.
Right. She's ultimately responsible, but they are trying to establish the fact that because of his accelerated schedule and his demands on the entire crew, that everyone was cutting corners because he was telling them to.
Okay, yeah.
And you know, I think also it's going to hinge on this evidence from the expert witnesses that talk about the gun and whether or not it could have been fired without pulling the trigger, because he said in his interview with ABC back in December of 21, I think it was, he said that he did not pull the trigger, that the gun malfunctioned and, hey guys, and then shot.
Well, but I believe FBI experts or whatever forensic experts have looked at the gun and disassembled the gun and said that that's impossible, that it could not have misfired.
Right.
So we'll see.
But I mean, I do understand what you're saying, Corby, and like, this is the person that you have hired specifically to keep this from happening.
Right. Yeah. You should presume that the gun that you are handed is safe to be used on a movie set.
Yes. The end.
The end. Okay.
Oh, a couple by the way, did you notice how she looked in the trial? This is completely irrelevant, but I wanted to point out an example of something that is irrelevant for those people who may get distracted by irrelevant things.
She looks a lot hotter now than she did when she was arrested.
Yeah, she got ready for this verdict.
Yeah.
Oh, me? I didn't pull no trigger.
What? I didn't do it. This is just how
a pretty little thing like me to the slammer.
Put on makeup? No, stop. I'm not good looking. What are you talking about?
It drew me offside for sure.
Oh, hey, Lando.
Hey, Lando.
All right, we have a couple of projects that definitely are going to be on Gordon's radar. One is a limited series ordered at Hulu featuring Margaret Qualley, daughter of Andy McDowell from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and The Leftovers. We've talked about her before.
I'm not comfortable with her.
Yeah, she's uncomfortably hot and young, but she's legal.
Wait, who is she?
Daughter of Andy McDowell. She was one of the Manson girls in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood that was hitching a ride with Brad Pitt.
Remember when she's in the car and she's like, "So you want me to blank your blank?" And he's like, "I might need to see an ID from you, little girl." I'm like, "Oh God, yeah, baby."
Putting her feet up on the windshield.
Sixth grade, huh? Yeah.
Anyways, she has been cast for a limited series on Hulu, 8 one-hour episodes on the story of Amanda Knox. She will be playing Amanda Knox.
All right, I get this. There were so many weird trials going on. Is this the
calm down
Navy lady? Or
no, she is the one. She was wrongfully convicted for the murder of her roommate in Italy. And then she was incarcerated, and it took her 16 years to eventually exonerate herself and be set free.
Oh.
Well, she only spent 4 years in prison. But, yes, the Supreme Court reversed the decision, and it's crazy when you read about that case. Now, it's still controversial because there are still a lot of people who really think that she was guilty, like people who study the case. But most people, I think, look at it and go, this is unbelievable overreach by the prosecution and by the law enforcement there in Perugia, Italy.
Yeah, she is way too hot to be guilty.
Well, okay.
Snake.
What? You just said the same thing about the armor. I don't want to hear it.
And the other project that we have fewer details on, because we don't know any of the cast members. We don't know.
This is what he does. Yeah.
We don't know what network this is going to be on. Oh, I guess it'll be on Paramount Plus, maybe. But they are going to do a limited series on the murder of JonBenet Ramsey.
Finally, the truth will come out.
Yes. Of course, she was 6 years old when she was murdered at her family's home in Colorado. And there have been a number of like docuseries, people trying to solve the murder because it is still an open case. But don't remember it being dramatized before, do you?
I don't. I feel like countless datelines in 2020s, but I don't think anyone's taken it to script.
I remember in the early days of The Ticket that there was...
We were trying to solve the case.
There was something related to the case that constantly was getting booked on shows that would be on the dry erase board.
Yeah, it was more detectives that were part of the case. We were constantly, Gordon and I, were trying to one-up each other's morning and afternoon shows, trying to book one of the lead prosecutors and detectives on the case. I think that's it, Dave.
I wasn't going to go any further.
I agree.
And then they would giggle.
Now, that's a case I haven't really studied, so I don't know.
Are you sure?
What the story is. Yeah, I mean, I know I remember following it at the time, which was that the parents were under the umbrella of suspicion, and that was the first time I'd ever heard that term.
There was the theory that the brother accidentally killed her, and then the parents were trying to cover for the brother.
So you've never sat in a bathtub, surrounded by candles, reading the court papers of this trial?
Not this trial, no.
Okay. All right.
Why did you say bathtub?
He just likes to draw a warm bath when he's reading court documents.
All right, we have a couple
That actually is true.
Oh, it definitely is true.
Oddly enough,
by,
I read
candlelight.
He's sitting on
Amanda Knox book while in a bathtub.
Right, sitting
recently
on Mussolini's bidet or something.
Okay,
Mussolini's bidet.
He has a whole bathroom assortment.
Right.
Yes. He has evil men
John
from
Wilkes
history
Booth
bathroom
butt
suite.
Plug.
He just has a whole house full of bathrooms that are.
Wait, what was said?
Themes.
Well, Dave's assuming that while you're in Lee Harvey Oswald's bathtub, that you might be adorning John Wilkes Booth's B plug.
Did he say the full word?
No, he wouldn't do that. Never,
okay.
Never.
No.
Did it get dumped?
Dave's never made a bad decision.
No, why would he do that?
All right.
Jeez.
Speaking of the bottom.
And just, you're looking bottom. In a mirror going, God, I love you.
Oh, so powerful.
Gordon.
The plug.
Never heard that terminology.
Pulsing its power out of it. Just,
right. Your power is growing with each pulse.
Each pulse of the rectal pacifier.
All right.
All right. Oh, God. It's happening.
Shout out to the Boat Show.
Oh, man. All right. A couple of Kansas City Chiefs quick hits. One, Brittany Mahomes.
Brittany.
She has gone on to Instagram. She said in an Instagram story, just your daily reminder, once you have kids, please take care of your pelvic floor.
What?
From a girl with a fractured back.
What?
That evidently, in the course of having her two babies, her pelvic floor did not fully recover, and now she has a fractured back.
I'm not sure I've ever heard that term.
Have you explored anyone's pelvic
floor? Pelvic floor? Yes,
yeah.
That's common with a lot of women who've had babies. They have, a stretched out muscle, and that's when you do your Kegel exercises and all that.
So she was doing exercises to get into the swimsuit issue, but she wasn't doing pelvic floor exercises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Gordon...
She could have used John Wilkes Booth's plug there.
Right. Gordon learned that fun fact on Pol Pot's bath mat.
Hey.
And finally, there's been a poll of Swifties to decide who Swifties believe is the most attractive player in the NFL.
Oh, my God. Well, I know who it is now. It's Sam Hartman.
Well, he's not officially in the NFL yet. So a quick rundown of the top 10 according to Swifties.
Okay.
Number 10, Saquon Barkley.
Definitely hot.
Number 9, from the Dolphins, Braxton Berrios.
Uh-huh.
Number 8, Patrick Mahomes. Number 7, Jamal Adams. Number 6, Kirk Cousins.
What?
Number 5, Dak Prescott.
Uh-huh.
Kirk Cousins is not good looking.
I know. Number 4, Joe Burrow. Number 3, Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah. That's my guy.
Number 2, Travis Kelce.
Oh.
Who do you think Swifties thought was more attractive...
Number one.
Then Taylor's Bay.
I'm hoping for Jason Kelce.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great That's a great guess.
We're going with that. Final answer.
Nick Bosa. The handsome Nick Bosa.
Okay. Good looking.
I know who none of those people are.
And that is your E-News. Coming up next, Corby has a fun pop quiz for the Rant Revival.
Me as a kid.
I hated Temple of Doom.
Did you guys ever do that with your friends?
Oh, yeah.
Like, do the iron claw to their heart,
and then say,
wondering if it could happen.
You call him Dr. Jones, doll.
Whoa. What?
My God.
Who is that?
What?
Let's hear more from Short Round.
Hey, Dollface.
Wow.
Gordon?
Yes,
good luck
Corby?
With this one.
Harry Potter.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Dang.
Thank you.
Very, very good. And finally, Bob.
I can't roll with these guys.
Name this John Williams tune. movie in my estimation.
Oh, I think I know what this is.
Another Spielbergian joint.
Let me know when I can steal.
No.
Catch me if you can.
Catch me if you can.
Oh, dang. That's right.
I love that soundtrack and that theme song.
Yeah,
I thought it was
good.
So sharp and fit the 60s or late 50s, early 60s, whenever
yeah.
it was.
The title sequence was great.
Yes, it was unreal. Well, there you go, boys.
I would have gotten that one, but I was bidding on Ted Bundy's shower sprayer, so I didn't have a chance to.
I hope bath time goes well tonight.
Right, I know. Golly.
Riding Christopher Reeve's horse.
Right. Been on John Wayne Gacy's soap dish.
Gosh.
Man, we need to explore this house a little closer next time.
Oh, all right, Gordon, thank you very much.
Yes, 7:35, Twitch tonight. Twitch.tv/actualGordonKeith. P1 Hangout.
All right, brother. There he goes.
Later.
The great Gordon Keith. We'll see you later,
bye,
man.
Bye, Gordon.
Bye.
Williams now has 54 Oscar nominations, which makes him the most Oscar nominations for a living person. Second most all time behind Walt Disney at 59. And Walt Disney was just like producer, I think. Not that I'm not trying to minimize him, but it feels like John Williams, art-wise, did more. Maybe I'm wrong.
Or what?
Maybe the mouse, maybe, drawing a mouse did more.
I don't think that Disney was sketching stuff much beyond Steamboat Willie, probably.
Right.
Maybe
right.
They should fight at Cowboys Stadium on the undercard.
Walt Disney and John Williams?
Yes.
And John Williams is still working at 91. Like, I mean, he did the Indiana Jones, the new Indiana Jones movie. He's working on other projects, and he's like, you know what? I'll do this till I'm 100. Super sharp, looks great. But he did
Superman as well, and Jaws, and what else? Jurassic Park.
Well, calm down, because Gordon, I'm going to give you...
Just calm down, Gordon.
I'm going to give you a little bit of a quiz, if
okay.
you will. And it's going to involve the three of you, Dave, Bob, and Gordon, in which I will play a cut of John Williams. And Gordon, whoa. I would like it if you would close your computer.
Okay.
Okay?
So log off of Clean Feed and...
Not that. No. Let's not go that far. Right. Let's not go that far.
The other computer.
And it is you're incumbent upon naming that John Williams tune. Some of it's from our youth. Some of it's from our early adulthood. Some of it's from our later adulthood. Dave, you are first. Name that John Williams tune movie.
Oh.
Is this like E.T.?
No. Dang it, you got it right.
It's E.T., right?
That is E.T., Dave.
Thank you.
That is very, very good. Gordon, you are next. Name and keep your own score, Dave, if you will. That's 1 point for you.
It's like golf.
Yeah,
an honorable scorecard.
Gordon, name this John Williams film.
Schindler's List.
Greatness.
Yeah, I picture Gordon unpeeling a Toblerone to this music.
Okay, all right.
Gordon, the only one...
Never shared that story.
Who was eating a Hershey bar while at Auschwitz... Going, where's the rides?
Oh, my God.
I don't see a trash can. I guess the ground's the trash.
Where are the rides?
Whoa.
I did not think that Auschwitz was a theme park.
I don't get it.
There's no water slides here.
Yeah. Nothing.
Why does everyone look so sad?
Yeah. He's got his towel and bathing suit.
How far into the tour can we buy funnel cakes?
I don't even like Sprite.
The story gets better every time.
Bob,
so
name this John Williams movie.
Oh!
Come on.
Gordon for the steal?
No, hang on. Let Bob think.
This is War Games, Corby.
No, come on, you idiot.
I knew I was going to be so bad at this game.
There is a chance that Bob has never seen this film before because it happened in the 70s. When his parents had him
in
a little
Baptist church,
like a little bubble boy cocoon,
right? Was at summer camp.
Because if you're religious, you don't believe in space.
They may have burned
you. You're a theological bubble boy. They just kept you in a sealed room.
Gordon, go ahead.
That is Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Wow, have I seen that? I'm going to say no,
dude.
Yeah,
it's so good.
Yeah, it was made in the 70s, though.
What?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's still incredible.
Wait, there was a golden age of cinema.
Yeah.
Did he also
actually,
write
I don't
the
think
theme?
That was made in the 70s.
Yeah, it was.
Close
you Encounters?
Sure? Oh, yeah, because...
Yeah. 75? Right before Jaws. Or right after Jaws.
No, it wasn't made before... Okay.
1977.
Yeah, maybe it was right after.
77?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
yep.
So same year as Star Wars.
Snatch?
Yeah. What were you going to ask?
Oh, I was going to ask if John Williams also did Close Encounters of the First Kind and Close Encounters of the Second Kind.
No, it was not a trilogy, Dave. But, oddly enough, you're up, Dave. What John Williams film is this?
Oh! Oh! Gordon for the steal. Gordon for the steal.
Hang on, blue balls.
Hmm.
It'd be funny if that was his radio name.
Don't know.
Come on.
Don't know? No guess?
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. I don't know.
I can't accept that, Dave.
I'm going to say... It's Raiders of the Lost Ark.
It is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like,
damn. I got it wrong.
It's like Miriam's theme.
Right? Oh, yeah, that's Miriam's theme. That's right. Yeah. Mary. No, not Miriam.
Mary
What's
Ravenwood,
her name? Marion.
Ravenwood. Yeah, Miriam. Yeah.
Marion Ravenwood's theme.
No point for you. Gordon, what is this
Lois's
John Williams theme. Song?
Sucks.
I'm going to go to the concession stand.
It won an Academy Award, so...
Oh, it did?
Yeah, it did.
Thank you.
War of the Worlds?
No.
Hey, does anybody have more? I'll be right back.
Well, apparently, none of you guys care about D-Day at all.
Not!
And about the soldiers that lost
what is
their
D-Day?
Lives. That is Saving Private Ryan.
Uh-huh.
Saving Private Ryan.
I was one of the first people in the nation to see that movie.
Bob, you're up. Name this John Williams film.
I liked it better when Lee Greenwood scored it.
I know.
What's happening?
Oh, God.
What?
You better get this.
This is our girl.
What girl?
Superman.
What is your guess?
This is Kal-El's theme.
This is what they would play for Leia.
Oh, yeah.
So you're saying Star Wars?
There's a hint of Dagobah in it, so I'm gonna roll over to Empire Strikes Back just to be clear.
That is Yoda's theme from Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, that's
Back.
When
yes.
they're in Empire in the swamp.
When Yoda was all sexy in the bikini.
I think when I got when Dagobah,
you nailed it.
I feel like that's
you nailed
close
it.
Enough.
Dave, 1 point for you, one for Gordon, and one for Bob.
What a barn burner.
Wait, I got Name? Two. I got Conrad Schindler's List and Close Encounters.
We're not counting the steal. Dave, what is this John Williams film?
What?
Another Academy Award-winning song.
Fiddler on the Roof?
Look at the big brain on Dave.
He was joking.
Is it really?
Yes.
He was literally joking, and I was applauding him. Like, this sounds like Fiddler on the Roof.
Wow, that is incredible.
Kreskin, big time.
All right, two for you. Gordo, here's your layup.
All right. Superman. Thank you. Thank you.
Ham, do you know? You would know that, right, Ham?
Yes.
Don't mock me.
Idiot.
Bob? Jeez.
Do you have Christopher Reeve's spine, by the way, Gordon?
What?
He does, and the horse.
Yeah, I got the horse stuffed.
Oh, get
the...
you ride the horse to the bathtub.
Where did I put that spine?
Bob, this is a little tougher. I bet you Gordon definitely knows this. What is this John Williams song from?
Somebody fat is on screen right now.
It's kind of Larry David feel, you know? Like, it even sounds comedic, right?
Yeah.
Come on, Bob, you ought to know this.
Bob?
This is the Jawas theme, I think.
It sounds incredibly familiar, and I don't have a good guess.
Ewoks.
So,
No and no. We're going to let Ham in for the steal.
This is Lex Luthor's theme.
That is Lex Luthor's theme from Superman.
Yeah. You could have given me 1 trillion guesses.
You didn't see Superman?
Yeah, I'm sure I did, but I don't...
You don't even remember.
I didn't say, boy, I hope this piece of music stays with me forever, so...
Dave?
In case Corby asks...
Name this John Williams.
I basically
Williams
got that one.
You
I
did.
Basically
you were,
got, I
you
should get
close.
Credit for that one. Oh, Gordon for the steal.
Is this Temple of Doom?
This is Mola Ram.
Yes!
Thank you.
That
you know, I got
awesome
to hold that glowing stone. It was at Heritage when we were out there last time. They were selling the glowing stone.
Is that when he pulled his heart out of his chest?
That is.
Yes.
That is. Which
so creepy.
With,
it so influenced me as a kid.
With.
I hated Temple of Doom.
Did you guys
still
ever
do
that with your friends?
Oh, yeah.
Like, do the iron claw to their heart?
And then say...
Wondering if it could happen?
You call him Dr. Jones, doll.
Whoa. What?
My God.
Who is that?
What? Let's hear more from Short Round.
Hey, Dollface.
Wow.
Gordon?
Yes,
Corby? Good luck with this one.
Harry Potter?
Oh, yes!
Wow.
Dang. Thank you.
Very, very good. And finally, Bob.
I can't roll with these guys.
Name this John Williams tune. Very underrated movie in my estimation.
Oh, I think I know what this is.
Another Spielbergian joint.
Let me know when I can steal.
No.
Catch me if you can.
Catch me if you can.
Oh, dang. That's right.
I love that soundtrack and that theme song.
Yeah,
I thought it was
good.
So sharp and fit the 60s or late 50s, early 60s, whenever
yeah
it was.
The title sequence was great.
Yes, it was unreal. Well, there you go, boys.
I would have gotten that one, but I was bidding on Ted Bundy's shower sprayer, so I didn't have a chance to.
I hope bath time goes well tonight.
Right, I know. Golly.
Riding Christopher Reeve's horse.
Right. Been on John Wayne Gacy's soap dish.
Gosh.
Man, we need to explore this house a little closer next time.
Oh, all right, Gordon. Thank you very much.
Yes, 7:35 Twitch tonight. Twitch.tv/actualgordonkeith P1 Hangout.
All right, brother. There he goes.
Later.
The great Gordon Keith. We'll see you later,
bye,
man.
Bye, Gordon.
Bye.